Well, it's good to be back. I see everyone here. I guess to start the season, we'll thank Mrs. Goodman and Mrs. Goodman for hosting and arranging this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again. It's a nice opportunity to call together and learn. I guess the plan for this year will be we have to finish up the month still. We actually missed Tammuz and Av, which we'll get back to in Mirtzo Hashem. We'll talk about them. We'll start now with Elul. We still have Tishrei and Cheshvan to discuss. And then after we get through that, we'll start a new topic. I think Mirtzo Hashem, probably Hanukkah time, I assume, we'll get to a new topic. But we still have plenty to do for now, so we're in good shape. I want to talk about Elul and what Elul is all about. Now, we're already about 2 weeks into Elul, so hopefully we've all started thinking about the meaning of Elul, getting ourselves ready for Yom Narayim, for Hashem Yom Kippur. But Elul has a lot to offer us. Elul is a very powerful month, and we have to learn how to harness its strength, you know, take that strength and move with it. So I want to discuss the essence of what Elul really is, and then what we can do in Elul to help grow, to help ourselves grow. Now, first and foremost, Elul, I think, draws its power from Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chet HaEgel, he spent all of Elul davening to Hashem for forgiveness for that Chet. The Chet HaEgel occurred on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai before that to get the Luchos, came down to Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, broke the Luchos. He went up again, Rosh Chodesh Elul, to daven for forgiveness, and then he came down again. He went up again first in Tammuz, came down, then went up again in Rosh Chodesh Elul for 40 days. The entire month of Elul, he was davening for Hashem to forgive us, and then we finally received the second Luchos, Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur was the day where the forgiveness was actually solidified, but that entire month, Moshe Rabbeinu spent davening and pleading with Hashem for Klal Yisrael, for tshuva. And that's what Elul is for us. Elul is a month where we spend the entire month, you know, searching our own lives and ourselves to find those points that need to be fixed, to be improved, so Hashem forgives us in Yom Kippur. Elul is the sixth month of the year, and really the entire month, I would say, is set aside as preparation for Hashem Yom Kippur. That's what the month is for. It's a month to prepare, to get ourselves ready. And the fact that it's the sixth month is not a coincidence. Let's just take a minute to talk about the number six. We know Hashem made the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. Hashem created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, which means that this world, Olam Hazeh, we know it's only preparation for Olam Haba. And this world is made in 6 days. Shabbos main Olam Haba, Shabbos is the seventh day. The 6 days of the week are to get us ready for Shabbos. The 6 days of creation, this world, Olam Hazeh, is to get us ready for Olam Haba. Six is a number of preparation. You know, Olam Hazeh Dom Leprozdor, Olam Haba Dom Letraklin says Olam Hazeh is merely a hallway to get ourselves to Olam Haba, which is the banquet hall. So the world is created in 6 days, and the seventh day is Olam Haba. So Elul is the sixth month, preparing us for the seventh month, for Tishrei. So the entire world of sixes, we'll call it, that's the realm of human activity. This is the 6 days we're supposed to be acting and doing. That's Sunday through Friday. Shabbos is the realm of we've reached a goal, a destination that we've worked towards. We know Mishtarach Erev Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. If you've worked for an Erev Shabbos, then you can enjoy Shabbos. And that's not just, you know, practically, if you don't cook the cholin, you can't eat the cholin. That's practical. But it also means that if we're not working during the week, we don't enjoy Shabbos. The Shabbos means that because we've worked hard, we now have a destination to reach. And we've reached that. So Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, Erev Shabbos, is a day set aside for preparation. So it's the sixth day, and it's the day of preparation. Al pi Kabbalah, Yosef HaTzadik, here corresponds to a midah called Yosod, which is the sixth midah in terms of the way they count them. And the midah of Yosod means a foundation. A foundation means there's something to build upon it. It's a platform. A foundation by itself is meaningless. If I just put down the concrete in the ground, and don't build a house on top, so the concrete is just a waste of concrete. But if I build a nice foundation and build a house upon it, then that is something which is worthwhile. So the sixth midah we call Yesod, and that's the idea that you have a foundation and you build upon that foundation. Yosef, we'll talk more about him, but Yosef was someone who corresponds to that midah. And then Yosef itself, Yosef means I'm going to add on. He will add, is Yosef. Because the goal is not now, the goal is what's coming up. So that's the sixth month, the sixth midah. Yosef's role amongst the Shvatim, he prepared Mitzrayim for the famine, preparation. And he got Mitzrayim ready for Bnei Yisrael to come down. He was the one who went first to Mitzrayim. Everybody else followed along. So he's preparing the way. You know, he got everything ready for Klal Yisrael. We know Mashiach ben Yosef, he's supposed to precede Mashiach ben David. He prepares the world. This is going to be a different discussion one day. But there's a Mashiach ben Yosef. His job is to prepare the world for the actual Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. Preparation. It's all about preparation. Elul also is there to prepare us for Tishrei, which is the seventh month. We've spoken about many times in the past. Every month has a Shevet that corresponds to it. So Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll elaborate more on that. But the Shevet of Elul is Shevet God. Shevet God, there's very little information about. But one thing you know about Shevet God is that Eliyahu Navi comes to Shevet God. And Eliyahu Navi's job is to prepare us for Mashiach. He comes, he announces, Mashiach is coming. Get ready, you know, purify yourselves. You know, you go here, you do this. He's not the one who gives us the salvation, he's the one who gets us ready for it. So it's this, again, this idea of preparation. The mazel, every month is a mazel, we've discussed as well. You know, that's the constellation, the astrological sign. The mazel of Elul is the Basula, which is a young girl waiting to get married. And again, she wants to build. She now is young, there's a lot of potential there, but it's preparing for that next step in life, that step of marriage. That's the mazel of Elul. So it's potential, it's a lot of potential there, waiting to reach the goal. So Elul is all about the potential, preparation, and it's to bring us to the seventh month. Tishrei is the seventh month, counting from Nisan, the seventh month. And seven is always a goal. Shabbos is the seventh month, you have Shemitah, Yovel. We always talk, sevens are always goals. And Tishrei is a month that stands for a goal. You know, Tishrei is a month where it's called Yerech HaYesanim. It's the month of the mighty ones, where it's loaded with beautiful Yomim Tovim, with spiritual power, the ability to do tshuva, to be forgiven, to celebrate, simcha, zman simchasenu. That's what Tishrei is about. But if you don't get ready in Elul, you can't experience Tishrei. You need to have that preparation time in order so the Tishrei is able to become that goal in the month it's supposed to be. So that's one intro to Elul. So that's number six, the sixth month of the year, preparing us for the seventh month. To take it beyond that, so we always talk about, in terms of the farming cycle, you know, how does every month correspond? We spoke a lot about, you know, the cold and the darkness and planting. We had a lot of discussion about this last year. So what exactly happens in the farming cycle during Elul? It's interesting because not much happens. Tishrei is when mainly the plowing is done, I think, in Tishrei. We know that Tishrei and Cheshvan is when the rainy season begins in Eretz Yisrael. Elul is a time where the ground, you start to prepare it for plowing and for the rain. But the harvest already occurred Shavuos time. The actual planting will be in Tishrei or Cheshvan, and that's when the rain comes. Elul is a time where you prepare, we get back to preparation, you're preparing your ground for that rain. But to elaborate a little bit more upon this, we know that the idea of rain, rain stands for, this is the connection of Shemayim La'aretz, of Hashem to the world. We see it physically, you know, rain comes from the sky, and that brings us life in this world. But ultimately, the way that Hashem gives us rain, Hashem is trying to show us how He connects to our lives and to our world. That's what the rain does for us. Rashi talks about in Bereishis that nothing was growing because Hashem didn't bring the rain yet. And the human got to daven, so Hashem bring down the rain. Because the rain is Hashem's hashbav bracha into our world to make things actually grow, to have life, to thrive. That's what rain does for us. So typically we view the relationship of Hashem and Klal Yisrael as a male-female relationship. And we look at Hashem as the male, and Klal Yisrael is the female. Like Shir Shirim. The entire Sefer Shir Shirim is all that mashal. It's Hashem, it's Klal Yisrael, it's the female longing for her lover, it's the male longing for his lover, and that's all mashal for Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So Hashem has what we call the male role, and Klal Yisrael is the female role. Rain in the ground, Chazal see in the same exact image. The rain is like the male role, and the ground is the female role. Very similar to childbirth, the man provides the seed and then the woman develops it. The rain comes down and then the ground develops the vegetables and the fruits. That's how we view it. The Gemara actually says a line, it says Mitra Baila de Arahi. It says that rain is considered the husband of the earth. That's what rain is. So the relationship of Hashem and Klal Yisrael is symbolized by the rain, and that means that the rain is not yet coming during the month of Elul, but it's waiting to come. Just like we said that Elul is a month of potential. Things are waiting to happen. Nothing's happening yet. In Elul, the rain is not yet coming. It's not the rainy season yet. We're getting ready for it. We're going to daven for rain on Shmini Atzeres. That's when we daven for rain. But before that point, we have to get ready for the rain. Now, what does that mean exactly? Picture, you know, I mean, we're not farmers, but a farmer, he knows that if the rain comes and the ground is not yet prepared, the rain is actually not helpful. It's actually damaging. You have to make sure that you prepare the land, take away all the rocks and all the weeds, you have to plow, you have to get your seeds ready, and then the rain, it brings life. Then the rain is something which is going to create production. But without that preparation, that rain is worthless. So the same idea we have with El preparing for Tishrei is also with the rain. El is the month in the farming cycle where they get ready for the rain. It's not raining yet. No crops are growing yet. But they're preparing. It's going to rain in Mirtza Hashem when Sukkot's time comes, you know, at the end of Tishrei. So we have to get the ground ready for that Elul so the rain actually is productive. The rain is actually effective. So Elul is a time in the fields where they're getting the field ready, preparing the ground to receive the seeds and the rain and the Ashbar from Hashem. They're getting ready for that relationship. If you take it to the mashal of the husband and wife, so it's the woman waiting for the husband to return. It's the weird Klal Yisrael is waiting for Hashem to connect with us. It's all that same exact image, that same mashal. And this is the tshuva process. We're supposed to be focused on tshuva now. So the process of tshuva is exactly that. It's preparing ourselves to receive Hashem's brachos. We know that Hashem has so much He wants to offer us. Hashem is just going to give us abundant brachos and hashpa and life and inspiration and connection, everything. But if we're not ready for that, then it's like the rain coming down to an unprepared field. It's a meaningless thing. Tishrei is a time of so much potential. You know, you have Rosh Hashanah where we're mekabel Hashem's malchus. We have Yom Kippur, we can receive Hashem's forgiveness and be cleansed and be new people afterwards. You have Sukkot where you celebrate with Hashem. Zman Simchas Seinu is the Simchas Torah where you're dancing so excitedly with the Torah itself. But if we're not ready for it, so then all those days go to waste. Chas v'shalom, we don't want that to happen. But all those days go to waste. But as we get ready for it, so then the rain comes down to the prepared field. The field has been weeded, the stones are taken out of it, the ground has been plowed, the seeds are ready to go. The rain comes down, you have a productive season of farming. If you don't do that, so the rain comes down and it just makes a mess of mud, and that's all you have there. So this is the idea of Elul, is the ability to plow ourselves, is what I'd say. Just like they get the fields ready by plowing, we have to plow our own selves during Elul and prepare our own personal soul to reconnect to Hashem. Now you go through a long year since last Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and you know, we grow distant sometimes. The Seres Meshuvah come, we try to draw ourselves closer. And Hashem is there coming close to us. But if the soil is not ready, so then that closeness doesn't do us any good. So it's our job during Elul, just like the farmers in Eretz Yisrael should be at this point now getting their ground ready for the rain, so too we have to look at ourselves. You know, the human being we've mentioned before, Adam, comes from Russian Adama. Adam is like the ground. Adam, Adama, it's the ground. And just like the ground has to be prepared to receive the rain. So that's our job right now. So we want to reconnect to Hashem through tshuva. And the only way we can do that is preparing ourselves in advance for those moments. The truth is, any yomtiv, you don't gain from yomtiv that preparation. And I think that's a klal gadol in any yomtiv. That's the rule. But even the more so, yom ha'narayim, because since it's a time that's so intense, and the expectation of us is so high, we have to get ready for it. There's very big expectations in yom ha'narayim. It's something which is, you know, very hard for us to reach sometimes. But if we get ourselves ready for it, we know what it's like. If we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, it's a very meaningful day. Those years we're busy and we're not focused, not prepared, so the day becomes, it's a very difficult day. It's a little hard, it's tedious, we don't feel connected. I think we've all had both experiences, I hope, and we know what it's like. So we want to have that experience where we feel so ready, so prepared. We focus during Elul, taking advantage of the month, and now we show up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, now ready to go. And then Hashem rains down all of that hashpa and bracha and chiyus into the world in those days. And because we're ready for it, because our ground has been plowed and our soil is ready for the rain comes down and then we have a productive year. Then our whole year should change. But if we're not ready for it, that rain comes down and it's just a waste of rain and a muddy mess and the year doesn't get impacted by it. And if it does, it's for the negative, chas v'shalom. So this is the month of Elul, this is what it stands for. It's all about that potential, the preparation, looking towards the next month. That's what it's all about. So the question is more practically, what do we do? How do you take advantage of Elul? It's easy to talk about all these nice ideas of preparing ourselves and tshuva, but tshuva is a very, very practical process. And the expectations of us right now are very, very practical expectations. You know, we need to show something for ourselves. And what is it about Elul that gives us that ability to grow? And as I always say, it's not just that the month is there to live through, but the month actually gives to us, it provides for us something that we need. Hashem is there for us with Siyat Dishmaya to utilize the month properly. With the help from Hashem, that's how we grow. So I want to be able to explain, there's many aspects of Elul that we can use to help us grow. And what I mean by that is that Hashem gives us Siyat Dishmaya. We get this special help from Hashem to take advantage of the opportunities. So during the rest of the year, if I involve myself in tshuva, it always works. Tshuva is accepted anytime. There's never a moment Hashem will accept your tshuva, ever. Even those people that it says in the Gemara that Hashem tells them, I'm not taking your tshuva, all that means, Mefarshim say, is that Hashem won't help them in their tshuva process. But if they do tshuva, Hashem will take them back too. There's several places in the Gemara where it talks about certain people who Hashem says, I'm not taking your tshuva. But it doesn't really mean that. It means that I'm not going to help you get there. If they sincerely turn to Hashem, Hashem will take it. Tshuva is good anytime. The difference is in Elul, the tshuva goes so much further because there is a spiritual power of the month that pushes us. It propels us. It's like sometimes you have to swim upstream and Elul you're swimming downstream with the current. It's just you take a step and those steps are multiplied. So how do we understand all the different help that Elul offers us? So I like to understand this in the following way, and this is something which I've looked into for a few years now, and I've discovered a lot about this point. It's a very interesting thing that if you look at really any sefer about Elul, it always gets into telling us Rosh Hashanah about the month, acronyms. The very famous one is Anil Adodi Vadodi, that's the most famous one out there. But I'll share with you, there's a lot more. And it always bothered me, like, you find this practice about Elul, but no other month has these, like, pick up Sfarim about any other month, which I've tried and I've done, they don't give you all these different Rosh Hashanah of the name of the month. And it's always strange to me, like, how come Elul has this, it's like an Ochen Minhag or something, to take the word Elul and then make it into Rosh Hashanah. I can never figure out why. So I saw it in a sefer, the Munas Titecha, which I've quoted before, Moshe Wolfson, Shlita. So he says the following point. He knows this also, that people make Rosh Hashanah instead of the month of Elul. He says, why is that? So he says that the idea of Rosh Hashanah is that there's much more here than meets the eye. You know, that's what he says. You know, you look at, the government has so many different acronyms they use. So we know that POTUS, President of the United States, POTUS. So it's five letters, but that stands for, I don't know, like 30 letters or something, if you count them up, however many it is. So there's much more there than meets the eye. It goes much further than you see. And Elul is exactly that, he says. Elul is a month that whatever you do goes so much further than that which you think it's going to do. Every act you do, every step you take towards tshuva, it contains much more than meets the eye. The same way Rosh Hashanah is one, we keep 2 days, but it's, it contains within the entire year. So it's one day, but it contains much more than that one day. Elul is a month that every step you take, even though you think you're taking one step towards tshuva, really Hashem views it as 5 steps. And maybe you'll be able to take those 5 steps because you have that Siyat D'Shmaya there. So the Rosh Hashanah of Elul tell us that, we'll go through the Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah means there's much more here than meets the eye. One letter actually stands for many, many words, many ideas. Every step stands for much more than you think. So in this idea of Elul and the Rosh Hashanah, that means the Siyat D'Shmaya is in the air. Right now in the air of Elul, there is special assistance from Shemayim to become better. So if we can grasp onto this assistance from Hashem, then we would go so far. And sometimes you have to know, like, what is Hashem helping us in? So what I've compiled here, I'll pass this out. I've found, there's probably more, but I've found 9 different Rosh Hashanah discussed in Sfarim about Elul. I'm sure I have my own copy here. Here, you can pass this around. I'm sorry, I hand wrote it. I was going to type it up. I didn't have time. But I tried to write neatly so everyone can read it. It should be okay. But the... And I guarantee if you look through more Sfarim, you'll find even more of these Rosh Hashanahs. But I've found in many Sfarim, and actually it dates back to early to Rishonim. It's not just like a modern day like cute thing people put in like a drasha in Sfarim that stands for this, but you find it in very, very respected Sfarim, in very old Sfarim, by Rishonim, and beyond. So we have here, I want to discuss each one of these and understand, what is it about the month that Hashem will help us with. These Rosh Hashanahs are telling us this is the power the month has for us, how we should utilize and grasp onto this month. So let's start with the number one. The most famous one, Anila Dodi Vadodi Li. That one, probably if you've heard of any of these, that's the one you've heard of. That one is quoted very, very often. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. So that's a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which obviously it denotes the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And it says it's mutual. I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me. But I think this idea speaks to a much more central point. So we're speaking that it's a month of love, that Hashem's love is perceived in Elul, which is true. Hashem, because He cares about us, gives us the opportunity to grow. If Hashem didn't care about us, He would say, okay, forget about you. You didn't follow my Torah, you had bad midos, you rechal Shabbos, you didn't make this brachos, you didn't have kavanah davening, okay, done. I'll see you later, have a nice life. But Hashem says, no, I love you, I care about you. I don't want to just cast you off and forget about it. I'm giving you an opportunity. Come. My arms are open. I'm welcome. I welcome you back. just come and embrace me and do tshuva, embrace my Torah, and I'll take you in. So it's a month of love, and then the other way around is that, so we show our love towards Hashem. We don't say, Hashem, see you later. We say, Hashem, we want to come closer to you. We want to embrace you. We want to be there with you. And that itself is one concept on Yehudu V'Dardi Li. But further, it goes to what we were saying before. If it's out of my beloved is to me, that means that every step I take, Hashem steps towards me as well. Usually if somebody is standing, you know, 10 steps away, I take one step, so I'm 9 steps closer. I'm 1 step closer, 9 steps away still. But if that person steps towards me as well, so then it's doubled, you know, my work. So now we're 8 steps away from each other. And that's Elul. Ani v'dodi, I move towards Hashem. V'dodi li, Hashem moves towards me. So we know that every step we take is going to be compounded because Hashem will move closer to us, even closer to Him. We know that during the Yom Nerayim itself, Aser Simei Tshuva, so we talk about the idea, Dirshu Hashem Behim Matzo, you should seek Hashem when He is found. Kirub Yosef Karov, you call Him when He is close. So there's a certain closeness which Hashem creates during the Aser Simei Tshuva, which we can't replicate the rest of the year. And that's generated from Elul. And when we get to Aser Simei Tshuva, Hashem is really, He's there with us, He's close. It's a result of this love, and a result of our work in Elul, that helps us connect with Hashem's closeness. So I take a step, He takes a step. I show the love, He shows the love. I come close, He comes close. And that's the first point of Elul, and that's probably the most central point of the month. That's what the month's all about. It's about that love and that care from Hashem. So the opportunity is, the invitation to come back to Hashem is there. It's up to us to take the invitation and move with it. The next one, number two, this is a pasuk in Megillas Esther. It says, "Ish l'riehu matanos levyonim." So there it's discussing the ideas of Shalchmanis and Matanos Levyonim, one of the mitzvahs of Purim. But what this means for Elul, and again you see the Rosh Tevos, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, what means for Elul is the following. We know that tshuva tefillah tzedakah mavir nesar hagzeira. So part of what we need to do tshuva, is to increase our chesed, our love towards one another, our relationships. If we don't develop relationships with people, then we can't develop with Hashem. If we don't reach out to our fellow Jews, then we can't come close to Hashem either. It's a time that we should be able to mend our relationships. That's the Ish L'Rieihu part. It's the Shalchmanis part of it, that we're looking towards our friends and our acquaintances and trying to create much more of a loving relationship. And it's time to help the poor. Tzedakah, we know, is a tremendous chus during this time of year. Because the truth is, you know, people need tzedakah, and Hashem needs to give us tzedakah. We need Hashem to give to us what we need. We don't deserve what Hashem gave to us. We didn't earn it. We're beggars to Hashem as well. We say, you know, we're there at Hashem's door. We're there, Hashem. We are knocking at your door like paupers, like poor people. So we set the model. Hashem, we're going to spend Elul involved in tzedakah and chesed. We're going to give tzedakah to those who are needy. They didn't earn the tzedakah, but we're giving it to them because, you know, they're asking and they need it and we care. So Hashem, you too, you know, we may not deserve everything that we have, but please give to us because you care and you love us. That's part of the idea of Matanos Levyonim. So there's a time to work on relationships, and to give tzedakah and help each other out. The second part of this is that Chazal tell us that we can never be forgiven by Hashem for averos ben l'chavero, if we don't ask for mechila. If we've insulted somebody, hurt somebody, lashon hara, we've embarrassed somebody, so we can go on Yom Kippur to Hashem, and we can do vidui, and we can daven, Hashem, forgive me. Hashem says, I can't do it. You have to go to that person and ask mechila. And the halacha is that we have to go at least 3 times. The person will give mechila if you go 3 times. After that, you know, you've done your job. But if we don't look around us and see who over the year have I possibly hurt, insulted, aggravated, and we don't go to them during this month to ask mechila, then we have no business asking Hashem to give us mechila. So we have to make sure that we think in our lives, you know, in terms of Ben Chavero, you know, who do we need to go and mend the relationship with? And that's a very important thing. It's essential. Because we don't get kapara for those averos that asking the person for mechila. So that's part of this month. And again, the Rosh Tevos means that we have help in this. It's very difficult sometimes. You know, there's somebody that we have been in fighting with. We have a tense relationship. Somebody that, you know, we aggravate each other. We get each other's nerves. We haven't spoken to them in years because we just can't stand them. So it's hard to get over that. It's hard to say that, you know, I'm going to just swallow my pride, pick up the phone, call and say, hi, how are you? You know, please forgive me, or can we please make up? We get back together again. It's very hard to do. So the rest of the year it's hard, and Elul should be a little bit easier. Because Elul Hashem says, I'm giving you Siddhartha the Shemaya, and if you try to make that move, pick up the phone, I'll make sure that it's easier for you to overcome that challenge. So that's part of the idea of Ishlariya Matanos Levyonim. Let's see number three. Number three is Emol Hashem es Levavcha v'slevav Zarecha. So I think this is also an important one that we don't always understand properly. It says that Hashem should give a milah, should circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your children. So there's a concept of milas halev. Obviously, we don't mean like heart surgery, not a physical thing. We mean a spiritual thing. There's an idea of circumcising the heart. So what does that mean exactly? And it's something which, again, I think is hard for us to know what it means, but I think when we explain it, we'll understand much more what the pasuk talks about. There's something that the Chazal described called Timtum HaLev. It says a certain averus that we do cause us to clog our hearts. It doesn't mean clogged arteries. It doesn't mean heart surgery. The hearts are the part of us that are sensitive. So at least we talk about the heart being that which loves, that which feels emotion. It's the part of us that's sensitive also to Ruchnias, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mashal we give. And very often, all of us, I think, try at times, okay, I want to improve, I want to grow, I want to connect. I want my davening to be meaningful. I want my brachos to be meaningful. I want to make Shabbos meaningful. And we try, and we hit a brick wall sometimes. We can't figure out, like, how come I'm trying so hard, and I can't feel the connection or the inspiration? Like, where did it come from? Why can't I achieve it? And the answer sometimes is that, well, we've created Timtum HaLev. We've created these barriers, these blockages in our hearts that can't connect to spirituality, to Ruchnius. It says, Avonoseichem Avdilim Benil Veneichem. It's Pasuk in Yeshaya, I think. It says that there are averos that are separating me and you. Hashem says, I'm right here. If you look next to me, I'm available. But the more averos that we do, we put up these walls. There's fences, there's barriers between us and Hashem. And therefore, we try so hard to connect. And the problem is that we can't connect because these walls are there. And these mechitzos, they block our neshama from feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. So many often I think, you know, we're barking up the wrong tree, as they say. You know, we try so hard to figure out, why can't I connect? And the answer at times is not because we're not doing the right things right now. It's because we've done so many things in life that have caused us to clog the system. And therefore, we're not sensitive anymore to it. We've numbed ourselves. And that's a major problem that we have. So what do we do to unclog the system? This idea of Timtum HaLev. And it comes from our pasuk. The pasuk says, if someone eats non-kosher food, it says v'nitmesimbam. The word nitmesimbam, so usually we understand it to mean it's like tumah, you've impurified yourself. But it's missing the letter aleph in the pasuk, nitmesimbam. So Chazal say it means nitamtimbam, you've clogged yourself with it, you've become clogged. So that's non-kosher food, but it applies to any avera clogs us. Certain ones clog us more than others. Any avera clogs us up. So how do we undo those clogs? So this is what the pasuk says, Amal Hashem es levavcha v'slevav zarecha. There's an idea of milas halev. You can remove those clogs. You can remove those barriers. And there's many ways to do it. You know, it's tshuva is a major part of that. Tshuva, Hashem, proper tshuva done sincerely. Hashem says, not only am I going to forgive you, I'm going to erase the effects of sin. So Hashem could just say, I forgive you, but what's done is done, and the impact is still there. But Hashem says, no, if you do proper tshuva, not only am I going to give you forgiveness, I'm going to erase the impact that the sin had upon your neshama. And then that Timtum HaLev, that clogging, which is there, the mechitzos start falling. There's actually a beautiful mashal given by the Nesiv HaShalom, the son of a Rebbe. He says about Rosh Hashanah, he says that the idea of the shofar, so the one of the meanings of the word trua is to smash something. It says, the pasuk says, taroim b'sheva barzel, smash with an iron rod. And he says that when one blows the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, so the trua is supposed to be a concept of smashing through these barriers, he says. That, you know, we try so hard all year long to break these barriers, sometimes it's very hard. But the power of the shofar Rosh Hashanah is that you hear the shofar, and that trua is able to smash these barriers so that we can reconnect with Hashem. So that's what I think about sometimes on Rosh Hashanah, is that when you hear the trua, start thinking about all those things that are kind of in your way, that don't let you get to do what you want to do to grow as a Jew. That shofar has the ability to smash it. If you listen to shofar with that kavana, maybe it'll help us smash those barriers. That's something we can look forward to, Mirtzah Hashem. But this milas halev is something Hashem says during Elul, I'll be able to take your heart, take those clogs, those barriers, I'm going to be able to circumcise them. I'll cut them out, I'll destroy them, I'll smash them, I'll remove them. And at that point, the neshama will be able to feel sensitive to ruchnius once again. One of the challenges we have, you know, we can build, just like physically, we can build calluses. You know, our feet get calloused, and they don't feel the sharp rocks of the road. People play guitar, they have calluses on their fingers because the fingers don't get hurt by the strings. And we build calluses. And a callus is very insensitive. And we can build calluses on a neshama. The neshama is a very sensitive part of us, and it can really feel ruchnius. But the more things that we do in life that create these barriers, it makes us callous, and therefore we don't feel it. And the idea is to break these calluses which are upon our neshama. So that is part of the power of Elul, that Hashem will give us this idea of Nilas Halev. Next one, number four. Number four, it says, Anashim Lefaninu V'yach Perulanu. So that's a pasuk dealing with the Meraglim. And what it means is that we should send people before us and spy out the land. This is actually quoted by one of the Rishonim, Rebbe, I think, Rebbeinu Ephraim from the Bali Tosfos. This is a very early Rosh Hashanah mentioned about Elul. The earliest one that I was able to track down, I think. And this is in his parish on the Chumash. And so he says the idea is that Elul is a month where we have to find people who can spy us out. What does that mean? It means that we have to have leaders, we have to have Rebbeim, Rabbanim, guides that can help us figure out ourselves. Give us that guidance for tshuva. So the Meraglim are sent to spy out the land. But one of the things that's necessary in Elul is that we have to have people who can guide us and inspire us to search out the chait. We're going to spy out the chatayim, the shortcomings, the bad midos in us, guide us to grow, give us the musr we need. You know, sometimes we need the rabbi to get up in Rosh Hashanah and give us a fiery drasha. We need that sometimes to inspire us. We need that. And Elul is the month that we should be searching for that. I mean, you can't live with status quo during Elul. So that's what's never good. Something during Elul. What we have to do is, if we can't figure out for ourselves where to grow, search out those people. It could be a friend, it could be a spouse, it could be a Rebbe, it could be a Rav, it could be anybody. You know, anybody that you have in your life to help you grow. But find that person that will help you figure out, where do I need to grow? What can I do to change? Because sometimes we can't do it on our own. Sometimes we look at ourselves, we know we have things we have to fix, but it's hard to pinpoint it. So we need that those people who are able to guide us in that area. So Nashim Chafani Nach Perulanu says, Elul is a month that we need to find those people to help spy out the sin within us. And it's a month where Hashem will give us that help, that if we look for those people to who give us the ability to find within ourselves the sin, then we'll accomplish something with it. And sometimes someone could tell us what we need to do and we still doesn't click. But Elul will have that help from Hashem, that if we're told what we need to do by somebody who really understands, that will click with us, be able to grow. So that's number four. Let's see number five. Number five says, Ina liyado v'samti lach. So it happened in his hands, and I have designated for him, placed for him. So that's a pasuk referring to the idea of ir miklat. The lach is if somebody, chas v'shalom, kills someone else accidentally. So the lach is they're sent to the ir miklat, the city of refuge, and they have to live there until the kohen gadol dies. That's the halacha. So in Elul we have this. This is actually from the Arizal. The Arizal says this: Rosh Tevos Ina Liyado V'Samti Lach. That Hashem has, because this event has come to his hands, this accidental killing, this manslaughter, Hashem has given for us cities of refuge. So how does that relate to Elul? I mean, that seems to be a little bit far out there. How does that relate to Elul? I think it relates in a few ways. Number one, it tells us, Mefarshim explain, that we think that tshuva is only about sins that are done on purpose. And hopefully most of us, you know, we try our best, and hopefully most of the time what we're doing is not on purpose. We make mistakes sometimes, though. But the Ir Mikva tells us that even things that are accidental also require tshuva. If someone who commits manslaughter accidentally, they still have to go through this process of the Ir Mikva. So we have to look at our lives and figure out, okay, we know there's things, no, hopefully we don't do things that are against Torah on purpose. Hopefully all of us are trying to figure out and do the right thing every single day. But everybody's going to have those things that they do accidentally, things they do unintentionally. I didn't mean to, I forgot, I didn't know the halacha, I lost control. It wasn't on purpose, I wasn't rebellious with it. Maybe I was a little negligent at times. But that also requires tshuva. Because ultimately anything we do which is against Hashem's will does require tshuva. It might not require the same level of tshuva as purposeful or rebellious types of sins, but still requires something. So that's one lesson we get from this. Number two, it's called a city of refuge. You know, the killer has to run to the city of refuge, and there it's protected. The Torah does allow family members, the Gol Hadam, members of the victim, to take revenge, but if the killer is in the Yermiklat, he's protected. So we have to view Elul also for ourselves as a month of protection from our sins. You know, everything that we've done throughout the year, we want to just run away from it. Don't torment me, don't go near me, I want to change, I want to be a new person. And Elul is a month we can take refuge in. We can say, this month, things are going to be different. All that stuff I was dealing with last month, and 2 months ago, and 6 months ago, that's all in the past. And now I'm taking special refuge in here. I'm running to Hashem for protection. I'm running back to Daddy for protection, as it were. I'm running to Hashem, and I'm taking that protection. And all these things that torment me during Elul don't have to torment me. Let's say I'm dealing with a certain bad midah. Let's say I very often lose my temper, just as an example. And all year long, I deal with that. And Elul, like I say, I'm running away from that. I'm not going to let that torment me. I'm not going to get in my way. And I'm going to be protected during Elul. Which means that Hashem gives us protection. During Elul, if we sincerely run to Hashem, we run into that city, then we get protected from our tormentors. It's not something which is so hard to do as long as we have that goal in mind, that desire. Hashem says, I'm going to help you overcome that issue. I'm going to protect you from it during Elul. So you can work on yourself, do tshuva, and overcome it. So that's another idea of this, of the connection of the Ir Miklat to Elul. I'll bring in a third idea, which is that, you know, the Ir Miklat is something which you only run to if you killed if you kill on purpose as well, you run there, but then they take you and they execute you. But everyone who remains there is because they killed accidentally. So we think that, well, we do some things on purpose, some things by accident. On a certain level, and this is important for us to realize, we say on Yom Kippur in the davening, on Yom Kippur, we say Ki pasuk, Ki chola am bishkaga. All of us are unintentional. And what do I mean by that? I think if any of us thought through the situation clearly, we wouldn't have done it. You know, anything we've done wrong, usually we think back, we say, that was silly. Had I been thinking straight at the time, I wouldn't have done it. You know, we can kind of plead insanity, you know, for that moment in some way. In the halacha, it's very interesting. The halacha is that if someone does an avera, but they weren't aware of a certain, you know, of the punishment, and they weren't aware of the severity, it's also called shogig. It's also called unintentional, because you didn't have full awareness of the situation. So, had we been thinking straight at the time, usually we do the right things. Usually if our heads run straight, we do what's right. And we only do the wrong thing because, you know, we lose control, we lose focus, we're not thinking, we're not being patient enough, that's usually what's happening to us. The Chazal tell us, in Adam Chote, person doesn't sin, unless a spirit of, let's call it, a bout of craziness enters into you. So, how do you view that? So I know Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, the founder of Eshet Torah, he used to talk about this on some of his lectures. And he, if you ever heard him before, the way he speaks is, you know, he's very blunt sometimes. And the way he would say, you gotta be crazy to sin. You gotta be crazy. You know, that's how he'd explain that Gemara. Which means that if we thought through it, you know, we're going against the creator of the world. We're giving in to our own personal instincts or desires, even though we know that we're going to regret it afterwards and we're going to pay for it. We know that. In this world and the next world. So why are we doing it? Well, we're crazy. That's why we're doing it. So we're crazy sometimes. So the truth is that the idea of the Ir Mikla teaches us that essentially, deep down on some level, every avera we do is crazy. There's no reason we should do it. We're just crazy sometimes. But that realization actually helps us, because then we get our heads on straight. Then we say, you know what, I do these things because I'm not thinking straight. If I would just develop a little bit more patience, if I'd be able to have a little more self-control, if I'd be able to just take a moment and breathe and think before I act or I speak, I would do the right things and say the right things. I know everything I've done which is wrong, it's often because I just kind of didn't take control of myself. I went a little bit crazy at the time. So if we view it that way, it gives us, it's kind of empowering in a certain sense, because we know everything I didn't really mean to be that way. And I know it's wrong. And if I just focus myself, I'll do the right things. So I think that's also part of Elul, is to get our heads on straight and just think clearly. And then don't be crazy. You know, be focused. If we're focused, then we do the right things. Number six, v'naflu oyvechem lifnechem l'charev. So this one you have to jumble the letters a little bit. They're not in order here. But those four letters, Vav, Aleph, Lamed, Lamed, they spell Elul. Naflu oyvechem lifnechem l'charev. So your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. That's the that's this Rosh HaTevos. So the question would be, now who is our enemy that we're talking about over here? So the greatest enemy, it could be our Yetzer Hara. You know, it's that which drives us to do the wrong things. we know that it's actually quoted a few different sources. You know, the Mesillas Yesharim refers to our challenge in this world as a Melchama Chazaka, a very, very difficult war. We're fighting a battle. Against who? Not against any person, against ourselves, against our own Yetzirah. The Chovas HaVavos quotes a very famous story, has a famous line. He says that this great warrior returned from war. A very, very difficult war, and this guy was like the war hero. He comes back, and the sage tells him, you've just won the small war, now you have to deal with the big war. What's the big war? Your own personal Yetzirah. That's your big war. Yetzirah is our enemy. That's the enemy we try to take down. If we can eliminate and destroy our enemies, you know, these obstacles, the Yetzirah, our own personal drives to do the wrong thing, that would help us immensely grow. And then that's really our challenge. So there's a power in Elul to destroy that. We're able to weaken our Yetzirah. We're able to weaken our challenges, weaken our enemy. If we believe in its power and understand that if we act on it, we will grow, that Hashem will be there to help us grow. But it's a month where we should see our enemies falling before us. Again, meaning our spiritual enemies, our Yitzhara. That should be falling before us during the month of Elul. Next one, number 7. Echad l'chatos ve'echad l'ola. So there's discussing karbanos, and it means there's one that's going to be a chatos, a sin offering, and one's going to be an elevation offering. So, what does that mean? So, I think this one also. Many of us, we view Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as a time we focus a lot on our sins. And what we spoke about, you know, it's time for vidui, for tshuva, to figure out, okay, what have I done wrong? How can I improve myself? Where do I have my own failings and shortcomings? But that's only one aspect of it. That's echad l'chatas. That's the one aspect going, that's sins. There's a second aspect. Echad l'ola. Ola was brought, the elevation offering, that was brought in order just to come close. I feel inspired religiously. I want to reach out to Hashem. Therefore, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, I would bring an ola. That's what I would do. Something that's totally for Hashem. No one eats the ola. It goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his karban. It's for me to connect to Hashem in my own level. It's not because of an avera I did. It's not a sin offering. It's not a kapara. It's just to connect. So we have to also know, Elul, a big focus of it is tshuva and kapara. But also, it's a time that we should be proactive in trying to bring out our positive traits. Putting aside all of our shortcomings, we shouldn't focus so much on shortcomings all the time. All of us have great things we do. Every single one of us in this room, we do great things. We have positive midos. We have virtues. We have talents. We have strengths. So part of Elul is Echad L'Ola. You're supposed to bring it as an Ola. Take those strengths and develop them. Try to grow because we're reaching out towards Hashem, towards our lover, Anivu Dodi Dodi Li. So it's not just about trying to see how rotten and terrible we are and let's try to be better. It's about seeing the good things we do and trying to improve upon them. And the truth is, when it comes to tshuva, many Bali Musar discuss there's two ways to go about tshuva. One way is to look at the negative and try to fix it. The other way is to take the positive and go for it, and everything kind of falls in place around the positive. There's an idea of Surim Rav Asay Tov, drop the bad and do good. But sometimes you have to focus on the good, and the bad will just fall away. So if we're having trouble with focusing on the bad and our shortcomings, one clue, one tool for tshuva is to take those things that we know we're good at. Chesed, inspiring other people, tefillah, tzedakah, whatever, take that and develop it, and go for it, and make it even better. And we find that in our lives, and we feel so connected and inspired through our talents, so the bad things kind of just aren't important anymore. They kind of fall off, because I'm focused on the good that I'm doing. So that's the side which is Echad L'Ola. There's Echad L'Chatos. There's an element of Elul, which is for the chait, which is for the sin. But there's a second element, L'Ola, which is for positive growth, for good things that we do. So that's number 7. Number 8. V'kvodi l'acher lo etain. This is a pasuk from... I think it's in Yeshaya. I didn't write it down if I remember. I think it's in Yeshaya as well. And it says, "Ukvodi l'acher, my honor to another I will not give." So I think I'm going to say this pasuk on two levels. In the meaning, if you look at the Navi, the meaning of the pasuk itself, is Hashem speaking to Klal Yisrael. And Hashem tells us, even though you look around right now, and you see that many of the other nations are also receiving a lot of blessings and gifts from me, you know, other nations are able to grow and to prosper and to succeed and to be powerful, and Klal Yisrael seems so weak and so small. Hashem guarantees at a certain point, I won't give my honor to anybody else, just to you, just to Klal Yisrael. So the Sfas Emes explains, he says that during Elul, one of the things Hashem does for us is that Hashem is able to remove the different concealments that he has. Hashem himself hides himself. There are different layers of concealment which conceal Hashem. And you look around the world, you don't see Hashem doing what he promised to do to Klal Yisrael. We see Klal Yisrael has difficult times, and many of the nations are succeeding. So the Sfasemes says that during Elul, there's a revelation of Hashem, so we see that Hashem's focus is really on Klal Yisrael, and not upon the rest of the world. In the whole world, what's happening to them is merely for Klal Yisrael. So Elul is a time where we can come to realizations of seeing Hashem's Hashkacha, which is very important for us to see. Because a lot of times the reason that we get down and then we're not inspired to grow is because we don't see, like, where is Hashem responding to me? Where do I see Klal Yisrael succeeding through tshuva? Where do I see that my actions are actually being productive and going somewhere in the bigger world picture, in the bigger scheme? And Elul is a time where Hashem says, again, you have to mix up the letters, but it's Vav Lamed Lamed Aleph again. I will not give my glory to anybody else, I'll just give it to you. And this is a potential that we can perceive that during the month of Elul. I would also flip this around as well. Now this pasuk, even though it's said from Hashem to Klal Yisrael, if you isolate these words, I think it's important for us to focus on it from our end towards Hashem. Kvod Yachar Lotin, I won't give my honor to anybody else. Meaning, we honor a lot of things in life. And the problem is, when you honor the wrong things, it's not just because you honor the wrong thing that's bad, it's because you're showing something about yourself. And this is a big yisod that Rabbeinu Yonah talks about. There's a pasuk that says, Ish lefi mahalalo, a person based on that which he praises. Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person is really defined by that which they honor, that which they give praise to. For instance, this is actually an analogy given by Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner says that let's say you have two boys learning in yeshiva. So one boy is there learning every single day, Be'asmada, he's the top kid in the class, and he's doing great, and he's there at all sorts of hours, and he seems like he's the greatest learner on the block. There's another kid who's, he's in and out, he skips class sometimes, he's not so focused, he's not the top of his class, his grades are average. So you'd say, who is in a better place in terms of Odas Hashem? You'd say, it's the first boy. Look how committed he is to the Torah. But yet, let's say that when the Talmud Chacham walks into the Beis Medrash, the weaker boy is there excited. He gives him honor, he shows him praise, and helps him out, he cares for him. And the stronger boy in his learning doesn't care all that much. And then when the wealthy donor walks in, that stronger boy gets all excited, and the weaker boy doesn't care so much. So who's really in a better place in serving Hashem? So Rav Huttner says it's actually the weaker boy. Because even though maybe he's not as focused in his Limud HaTorah, but his values are in the right place. His values are that I feel that the greatest thing in the world is the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, the one walking in who stands for Odas Hashem. I personally, I struggle with it. It's hard for me to sit down and learn and to focus. But my values, what I give honor to is in the right place, and therefore that is paramount. The other boy, he likes to learn, whatever it is. He's very studious. He likes being honored by others. He likes being the top kid in the class. But his values are misplaced, because for him, money takes a seat over Limud HaTorah. That's what we see based on who he honors. So a lot of the times in life, we have to revisit that which, what's our value system? Where do we place honor in life? Elul is a time as well. Elul Rosh Hashanah Kippur is a time to kind of refocus ourselves and figure out, in life, what is most valuable and what is less valuable? Where are priorities? Where are priorities lie? And if we can kind of, figure out that scale of priorities, that shows a lot about ourselves. So the first thing to figure out is, in my own personal book, who would I honor? If I was one of those boys, who would I honor in that scenario? In life, where do I place my kavod? If it's not towards the right things, then I have to adjust that somehow. But a lot of what we do is so much based upon that which we honor, because that shows our value system. Ish lefi mahalalo, a person is based on that which they praise. A person is defined by that which they praise. So kvodi l'acher lo etzen could mean as well, I'm going to focus that my honor goes nowhere besides Hashem. That's where my focus is. And that's going to define me. Because if that defines me, then even if I have my struggles, I will get there because my values are in the right place. And having our values in the right place is so significant and so paramount. So that's the kvodi l'acher lo etzen. Last one, number 9, says, v'kachti eschem li la'am. I will take you to be my nation. Again, you have to switch the letters around, but also Vav Aleph Lamed Lamed spells Elul. So I would think this one to us is kind of the goal of the entire season. This is actually said by the Igra Dekal, which is the Bnei Saskar Sefer. He points this out, this Rosh Tevos. And I would say that if we were to ask ourselves, you know, what's the goal of this entire season? What's the goal of the tshuva process? Like, where is it taking us towards? And the answer is, well, Hashem tells us, I will take you to my nation. We want to be able to see, at the end of the entire process, that we will feel that our avoda has brought us to be Hashem's people. Over the year, we grow a little distant, and we may not feel that connection. But you know, by the time we reach Simchas Torah, Mirtzah Hashem, and we've been through the entire season, and we're dancing together with the Torah, Besimcha with Hashem, so that shows us that the entire process brought us to that point, that we should become Hashem's nation. Once Hashem is reclaiming us as His nation, we're reclaiming Hashem, you know, as our Father, and that's this whole period of the year is about. This is what we're heading towards. The avoda of these days is to be able to reach the feeling of Simcha, of being the Am Hashem. So it begins in Elul. It's a difficult time. There's a lot of avoda to be done. But when Sukkot arrives, and the Sukkot is the culmination of the season, Sukkot is the time that we sit there in Hashem's booth, in Hashem's room, and with Hashem, Hashem has said, I'm taking you back in, I'm reclaiming you, you're mine. In the Sukkah, I like to view the Sukkah as a big hug from Hashem. We're sitting in that Sukkah, you're sitting in that hug. And Simchas Torah, which is the end of it all, that's the final day of the entire season, it's a day of pure Simcha. Simcha of being a Jew, Simcha of the tshuva that we've done, and that's where it's all taking us. So L'chachti Eschem Lila'am means that Hashem tells us, if you do what you're supposed to do in Elul, you will see that you will feel that you are my nation, and I will reclaim you as my nation at the end of the entire season. And so that's where we're heading towards. That's our goal to keep in mind the whole way. So these are 9 Rosh Hashanah tables. There's probably more out there as well if you look through more Svarim. It's overwhelming to do everything I just said. It's a lot, you know, and it's not expected of us to do everything. But if all of us could just take on, you know, one of these ideas in Elul, all these ideas are different areas that Hashem says, if you do these things, I will help you. I will assist you. You will grow through these things. I will give you an extra boost. You will be flowing with the current and moving even faster in your avoda. So if we could all just find one of these things on the list and say, I'm going to work on that, we'll see a very big difference. You know, we'll see a lot more growth than we can imagine because we've embraced the power of Elul. Because the month offers us opportunities. There's a power in the month, which is there. So these things are obviously true the entire year through. You know, you always have to be giving tzedakah and doing chesed and loving Hashem and you know doing tshuva and trying to fight the yitzhar. These are true all year long. But during Elul, you get this extra Rosh Tevos. There's more than meets the eye over here. You give yourself this extra boost, this extra focus, and Hashem will push you along to reach our goals. And that's our goal during Elul. So we have to just embrace the power which is there, and it starts with believing in Elul. A lot of us, we don't believe that this time of year is different than any other time of the year. You know, we don't always feel it and see it. But if we believe in the power of the month, then the month will give us you know those opportunities and that boost. So that's our first idea, is to believe that there is a power of this month. Once you believe that, you can look over the list, you can think in your own minds, you know, what can I do in this month to grow? And then we'll see, going back to the first idea, that is the way you prepare the soil. That's how we plow our own bodies, plow ourselves, you know, get ourselves ready for that rain. And then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot come, and we will feel the water raining down upon us, helping bring forth the life from those seeds. But if we don't prepare the ground, so then again, the rain just becomes wasted. The rain is just going to be a wet, you know, muddy, you know, big glob of stuff, but it's not really going to get us anywhere that we're trying to get. So, stop there. Thank you.